This episode contains explicit language and other material that some listeners may find offensive. Hello, and welcome to Almost Famous, the podcast brought to you by two glorious bastards who drink tea and have way too much to talk about. Here are your hosts, Connor Keeley and Brandon Scully. Enjoy.
Well,
we're back.
We are back. It's been
2 weeks, Connor.
2 weeks.
It's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
We went into early retirement for a week there.
We did, but that's not our fault.
No, it's not. It may be a bit my fault on that behalf.
Maybe a bit your fault, but it's not technically your fault.
Also, maybe Power Squirt's fault as well.
Shocking behavior. Sabotaging the podcast.
Yeah, I had to work the last two Tuesdays back
including
to back.
Today.
Including today as well. But we're here now doing an episode, so it's all good.
It's all good.
But yeah, last week I couldn't do an episode because I was working and we were gone from Applewood.
We were not in Applewood for that podcast, no.
But we should have been.
We could have been. There was a high possibility that we could have been. But unfortunately, days were a bit mixed up, maybe. And we had moved out on the Monday, thinking that my auntie was back on the Monday. But it turns out that she wasn't back for another few days.
It breaks my heart.
We had to move out sometime, though, Brandon.
We did, but we could have just two more days and we could have got one more episode done as well. Like if I came back from work on the Tuesday, we could have did the episode in Applewood, the same way I'm doing it now, but in a different venue, playing away from home this week.
We are currently away from home, but at the same time, we were there a month and it was a very enjoyable, peaceful month in general.
Like, oh, absolutely, absolutely. But the difference is a month in Applewood is a week.
True, it feels like a few days. Like it's mad how quickly that time goes. But it was a blessing to have that place for him.
Oh, it was, absolutely. And thank you to your lovely auntie for giving it to us. But hopefully, there's a holiday just around the corner. Very hopefully. Soon, hopefully.
But sure, I heard you had a bit of a strategy, Brandon. Strategy planned.
Oh, absolutely, Con.
Oh, yeah.
And I hope she's not listening now. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to change my email address to trivago.com.
Okay.
And just keep sending her offers. Great trips all across the world, furthest part away for a month again.
Oh, coincidence. That's such a coincidence. It's a month.
Do you remember the night when we were leaving?
Yeah.
I went to the cupboard and I found a calendar. And I started going through it to see if she had anything planned coming up. Just looking ahead, kind of. A bit of hope. That was all I was looking for.
A bit of hope. But like, you know what? We have to hold on to hope because it's all that carries us by at times.
But we will get it back, Con.
We will get it back.
You know why we're getting it back?
Why?
The plants are still alive.
The plants are still alive. You know what? It had been a full month and you know I'm a professional connoisseur gardener.
I'm telling you now, next time I'm making a CV, Con, I'd actually pop that down. Fair play to you. The reason the plants are alive is not because of me. I was at work and if I was in charge, they'd have been fucking dead a long time ago. So fair play to you, Con, for keeping them alive.
I tried my best. I genuinely thought I would kill them at some point. And we nearly did. The first episode we did, they were in the conservatory. And by God, when we came out of that conservatory, I didn't even know what to say. They looked like they'd just been like killed by acid.
We were cooking, so you can imagine how badly the plants were getting it.
But it also turns out that we weren't told this initially. But it is good to know now that if days like that happen, is to open windows in the conservatory. It usually helps, you know, help them breathe.
Yeah, I said it definitely helps.
It does, yeah. So for every other time, we had plenty of windows open for the podcast. But, or just in general. But yeah, the day one, they got a bit of abuse. But you know what? They got completely revived.
You bring them back to life. CPR to plants you gave.
To life.
And they flourished after that.
They flourished. You know, you saw a big cucumber come off one of them.
Yeah, what the fuck was that about?
It was a cucumber.
That frightened me massively.
It frightened me as well. But you know what? Things were growing. Things were showing. It's all a good time.
But yeah, definitely, Con. Just in future. If I was you, I'd be ringing every garden centre in the county. Because they need you, Con. They need you badly.
I'm a gift to the gardening community. It's been a pleasure. Or my time served was a pleasure. But you know what? As we said, we moved out 3 days early. And those were 3 days that those plants were not supervised by myself.
Please stop reminding me. Go on. Please stop reminding me that we left early.
No, hopefully those plants, they were okay. I hope they're, you know what, no pressure on them.
She didn't say anything anyway.
She didn't say anything bad. But, you know, I hope for their sake that the plants are alive. Because, you know, I did put a shift in. Put a serious shift
hard,
in.
Hard work. I'd actually argue you were working harder than I was.
You were there working 14-hour shifts, but I was there keeping the plants alive. And you know, yeah, what?
I know which one is much more difficult, so to say.
But you know what, Brandon? Things have happened in 2 weeks. Things have happened in 2 weeks. A lot of things. Yeah, a lot of things have happened.
I've discovered that the word estrogen isn't a real word.
Oh, really?
You may remember in the last podcast, I was spouting on about estrogen testing.
Yeah.
Antigen testing, Con, is what it's called.
Ah, right.
I took AstraZeneca.
Yeah.
Which is one of the vaccines.
Yeah.
And antigen testing, combined it together to create a new word, estrogen testing.
That doesn't exist.
Add it to the dictionary, I must say.
But you know what? I'm sure the people that come up with these words, they're like, wow, Brandon Scully, that was a fantastic creation you just came up with there.
Well, whereas the rest of the listeners are like, what an absolute clown.
Nothing new there. Two clowns on a podcast.
Yeah, but it's been 2 weeks. We got up to a lot.
We got up to a bit. So we did. We checked out the blue light.
Connor, yeah, you went to a pub.
You
went to the Grove, and then you went to a step further. You went to a pub, and you got a drink.
I actually did get a drink. Granted, I'm not a drinker, right? I'll drink socially if I'm out with the boys, right? Or nights out, like bigger nights out, like if we're like going to town. I won't be on the all, you know, the Coke and 7-Up. Actually, no, I'm never going near 7-Up. But you know, on the Coke, I say on the Coke as if it's like, you know, on the heavier stuff. But no, I'm talking about cans of Coke, the drink Coke, Coca-Cola. Usually my go-to drink. I mean, there's one right in front of me right now, for God's sake.
I don't think I've ever seen you without one, Con.
Yeah, I mean, I always have a can of Coke nearby or a bottle of Coke,
and a box of cookies as well.
I have to keep some things the same, Brandon.
That's it, yeah. Satisfy your sweet tooth.
Exactly.
The worst sweet tooth I've probably ever seen in another person.
True, but as I said earlier, is that I balance it out by not being a drinker nor a smoker.
True.
It goes both ways.
But you did drink up in the blue light.
I did, yeah. No, I had something light. I think it was just a Copperberg.
Mixed fruits.
It's like bloody Ribena.
It's a light cider, isn't it?
Light cider. But it's fruity and it doesn't taste of alcohol. So that's usually my go-to if I am drinking.
And what made you get a drink?
Ah, that's it. The scenery, the views, the heat, what my days. What wouldn't be the thing that would make me buy a drink?
Fabulous spot, I must say. Cracking point, even better view. And the buzz, the atmosphere, it was packed.
Oh, it's fast.
And it was a Wednesday of all days.
It was a Wednesday.
It was absolutely packed. I know it's notorious for being known for being a biker.
A biker's pub.
Yeah, you probably saw as well. The amount of people that were stopping by in motorbikes, having a quick pint and then shooting back off. That is, looked like they lived the dream.
Some routes get up there, though.
Absolutely, and let alone in a car, a bus, Dublin bus.
A Dublin bus goes up there.
I think it's called the 45B.
The 45B. Like,
well, my old lad knew it straight away anyway.
That doesn't surprise me at all, my days. I think PJ knows more about the roots of Ireland than the people that built them themselves.
I think so, yeah. I said we were up in the blue light, and the first thing he said to me was, oh, did you see the 45 going up? He apparently did that route as well, and he was saying that as long as you came back with all your windows, you did a good job. So that gives an idea of how bad this road was getting up there.
You know what? We got up there, though. We did get up there. You had a few drinks. I had a few drinks. I had one drink, you know. It was slow progress.
Which might as well have been a few.
It might as well. But to be fair, no, it was grand, you know. I was there sipping it for a good while, to say the least. Nothing new there, to be fair. But
then your instincts kicked in. Connor's instincts.
Kicked in.
He needed food.
I needed food. We were heading back, and we're about, what, half an hour away, 35 minutes away?
I'm going to say 35 to 40 minutes.
From Greystone.
Especially with that traffic as well.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know what would be a good idea? To put a collection order in. Because we've given abuse to a few places, but I'm not like opposed to trying these places out. So, Sweeney.
If you're gonna slate somewhere, you need to know it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So we've given a bit of abuse to Sweeney's in the past because of their... audacious, ambitious. I don't even know what
I call it because of the piss taking. And I'm telling you now, I'm sick of saying this as well. I'm sick of talking about Sweeney's. I'm going to ban that word from this podcast. But they just keep bringing it back. We're giving them free publicity here. They keep doing something that makes us want to talk about them because they're very good at taking the piss.
They really are. So first with delivery charge, you know, $4.50 on delivery, was a bit mad. But you're thinking, okay, you know what? If they're charging $4.50 for delivery. Collection, will you know what, I'll put an order in ahead just to save some time, save a few quid, my days. As you said, they'll probably charge you $4.50 just to hand the thing across here at the table.
The only time you should charge $4.50 for a delivery is if you're going cross border to a different county. Then it's justified.
It is justified. But you know, we put an order in 35 minutes in advance to go collect a burger, and it was just a burger.
Plenty of time just to make a burger.
Just a burger, no chips, nothing else. It was just for myself. And my good friend Shane, a good friend of ours, Shane.
I wouldn't call him a good friend of mine. We'll leave that there.
Bit of an associate at the best of times. But he was like, you know what, Connor? I'll spin you down because he's a nice person, thinking that with the order being in half an hour, you go in.
Surely you just get out of the car, you pick it up and you go back in the car and go off on your way.
That's what I'd have thought, right? Otherwise, I would never have done I would never have dragged him down because it didn't just take 5 minutes. Didn't take 10 minutes. I was there an extra half an hour. Sat outside Sweeney's.
And let's remind people as well, this is just for a burger.
Yeah, so I'd say roughly 55 minutes for a single burger to get collected.
Was it busy?
No, nothing crazy. It was a Wednesday. It was midweek.
Was there many people around?
A few people, but like, they're getting ice creams for fuck's sake.
Fuck. That like, again, taking the absolute piss.
Like, granted, right? Their food isn't bad. Their pricing is a bit...
No, that's the thing about Sweeney's. Sweeney's is always known for good food.
It was.
I will say that. It's great food. Now, yeah. I haven't tried the new chipper since the new owners came in, but I've always been a massive fan of Sweeney's.
Yes, yeah, it's a traditional chipper in Ireland.
It's one to start charging $4.50 for delivery and one to start taking 30, 35 minutes to make a burger.
Oh, 35 minutes if we're lucky. Brandon, we're talking, the order was put in half an hour and we were further waiting an extra 25 minutes.
Do you reckon it would have even been longer if you asked for delivery?
Oh, God knows. I mean,
and plus, we've been billed $4.50 for that as well.
Like, you know what? Is that what their motives are? It's like, oh, you know, if we charge $4.50 for delivery, it'll be quicker. I'd send it up to you quicker. But yeah, granted, right? The food was all right. The food's grand. It was a burger, but it was nice. At the time, I said it. I wanted a big fuck off burger.
You've just had a pint. You want something to also like get the gap in as well, you know?
Yeah, but you know me for food now. It's a very big thing in my life, sadly.
Probably the most important thing in your life.
Yeah, you know what? Screw everything else. Give me my good food. But I was looking forward to this burger for so long, and I was left waiting a while. And yeah, the burger was nice. It was grand, you know? It was a big fuck off burger, and that's exactly what I was looking for at the time. But they just took the piss with the timing on it. It took quite a bit of time.
Wouldn't like Sweeney's at all. But I said it before, I said it again. I really hope this is the last time we mention that place on this podcast.
Unless they lower the delivery cost.
That'd be breaking news. That'd be on RTE, let alone the podcast.
Well, speaking of places that are not too far from Sweeney's, the Beach House.
Directly across.
Yeah, the Beach House, Brennan.
Now, you've known me a long time, Connor.
I have.
And since we turned 18 and able to go to a pub, I've always had something negative to say about the Beach House.
Yeah, it's even though it would be one of my, say, more preferred choices in Greystones, the Beach House.
To put it simply, wasn't a big fan whatsoever. My go-to would be the Burnaby.
Okay.
Your go-to would be the Beach House.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the Beach House whatsoever. Avoided the place. I was in there with you before.
Yeah, you were.
Now, I never got food in there before.
No.
But just, I didn't like the atmosphere. I didn't like the people in it.
Yeah.
I'd go as far as to say a bit snobbish.
It goes hand in hand with Greystones, that
word. It does, doesn't it?
Sadly. But, you see, I've been going there for as long as I can remember now. Just for food.
Exactly. The food's snobbish. Been
okay. Oh, okay, whatever. But the food's not, it's always been all right. Yeah. The food in the Burnaby is never anything to talk about.
That's where I disagree with you. I'm actually a big fan of the food in the Burnaby.
You see, it always was the case that the Burnaby had shite food and a better atmosphere. No, I won't say better, just a decent atmosphere. And the Beach House had good food. I haven't had food in the Burnaby for a while, but it's been never something to talk about. Whereas the Beach House, the food's always been, for the past God knows how long, it's been okay. It's, you know, wings, chips, burgers, you know, you're good to go in the Beach House.
Fair enough, yeah. But as I was saying, I wasn't never a real big fan of the Beach House.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was thirsty for a few points, so to say.
Nothing new there.
And I went down to the Beach House last Wednesday.
Okay.
And was there for, got food, had a couple of points, and I was very, very impressed, I must say.
Oh, that means something coming from you.
With the outdoor dining, I thought it was a very nice setup.
Okay.
They were busy. There was a lot of young staff, good buzz, the points are great. I got a beef burger with chips in the end.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Cracking.
That's good to hear.
I mean, my opinion of the Beach House has changed slightly.
Slightly.
And from when not wanting to ever go to it, I'd be up for going again.
So it's very funny you say that because, you know, I went to the Grove that time, yeah? And what did I order in the Grove? Beef burger and chips. You go to the Beach House, what do you get? Beef burger and chips.
That's what it does, yeah. That's what it does, yeah. I was very impressed by the Beach House.
You're very impressed by the Beach House. But Brandon, you weren't too impressed by somewhere you were about two and a half weeks ago. In fact, I'd never seen you more annoyed. It's a bit like how when you came to me and said, you know, I thought there was something horribly wrong after a podcast and it was just me being hungry and sorting out food in my head. Brandon came home after being out for about maybe an hour, 2 hours.
I'm going to say about 2 hours or so, yeah.
At the pub. Brandon, what happened?
The Orchard. One of my favourite pubs. My local by birthright. My first place I ever lived was Killincarrig, so the closest pub to me would have been The Orchard.
Okay.
So I've always considered that my proper local. I come down here today, and even a couple of weeks before that, I was ID'd in it, which had never happened to me before in that pub, which was crazy to see as well. I didn't have my ID. Eventually, I got a pint in the end.
Yeah.
But it was strange, especially being a barman as well, getting ID'd was very strange.
Right.
I know how some people feel now. But I was down there last, I'm going to say 2 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, around that. It was a Tuesday as well. It was 2 weeks Tuesday.
I went for a few quiet pints. I think England and Czech Republic might have been playing.
They might have been.
I think they were. Or Denmark and Czech Republic, maybe. Someone was playing anyway in the Euros.
Yeah.
And I was down, and I was there for 2 hours.
Right.
And they must have had about 5 to 6 staff on.
Okay.
Young staff. And then they have like 1 or 2 people behind the bar just pulling pints constantly.
That sounds like enough people to orchestrate it.
So yeah, they were basically just floor staff.
Okay.
Now, I was sitting outside the front. It was a little bit busy at the back. There was a good crowd out.
Okay.
But nothing crazy.
But as you said, there's plenty of staff on.
That's what I mean. Got 3 pints in 2 hours.
And that's not that you were only wanting for 3 pints, no?
No, I was drinking them very quickly. I was looking for a pint here and there. I was actually in a mood for a few pints.
Okay.
I just finished work. I think I was off the next day as well. So this is my day off.
Yeah.
3 pints in 2 hours. I was not impressed whatsoever. And if I'd order a Guinness, it took about 15 to 20 minutes for it to come.
And they also spilt one over you or spilt one on you. What happened to you?
What happened was she came out with a pint and she knocked it off the table and half it spilled. And I said, oh, that's no problem. She was walking away with it. She said, sorry, she was walking away with it. It happens. It's happened to me before as well.
Yeah.
I said, there's no problem. I'll drink that. No worries whatsoever.
Not a bother because God knows when you would have got your next one.
Exactly. So I thought, oh, I'm in the good. That was my first pint. I thought, oh, I was in the good books here. They'll keep coming out. There'll be a constant flow of people
but
coming out.
But they ignored you, it sounded like.
I think so, Con. I think so. Struggled to get a few points. And I was with Ben as well. We only had 3 points there for like 2 hours. And that put me in a foul mood, as you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. But you were saying at the time that you saw them, they weren't coming out to you at all. And they came out to you after Last Orders was already wrapped up saying that they're not serving pints.
Purposely done. All this trick in the book. As I said before, I work behind the bar. It happens. But not even to ask if you wanted one final point or whatever. And even if I did, it would have been another 20 minutes or so waiting.
Yeah, it's just bad form.
But I'm going to call that just...
A once off.
You know, I'm always happy to go to the Orchard.
Yeah.
Great little pub.
You said that like usually the old lads behind the bar are much more efficient at running that bar.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But it was just the young staff that were on that night, they just were letting the place down.
They weren't under pressure, but obviously they were new enough, so they felt under pressure. But I have no problem. I'll be back there again soon enough.
You're back there again. But at least, you know, not all things are bad, Brandon. Not all things are bad.
Not all things are bad, but I know you take your pizza very seriously, Con. Very seriously. Probably the most serious cuisine for you.
It would have been for a large period of my life. And our life, we were getting pizzas, God knows, every week.
Every week. It was tradition.
It's a winter warmer deal. It was 16 quid. But this is back in the day, and in my days, pizza back in the day, which in my opinion was a top tier pizza place in Grey Zones, and I still think that to this day.
That was Pizza Hut in Charleston's.
It was Pizza Hut in Charleston's.
What's that now?
It's a fucking Domino's.
It kills you to say it, Con.
It's a fucking Domino's.
Why aren't you a fan of Domino's?
I don't like Domino's. I think their pizzas are not good. I've said it before. I've given them so many fucking chances, right? Their pizzas come in like they're mediocre at best, right? And they have the like their prices on their pizzas are not even like great at all.
Very expensive, I'll give you that.
But like even if I'm getting a pizza for a tenner, they have like offers where it's like, oh, I order between X and Y time, right? And get a pizza for a tenner. And that's like excluding delivery. So I'd say 2-3 quid for delivery, it is what it is. Their app, right, the technology that they use, right, I'm going to say technology in regards to, like, their app, their whole, like, you can see the process of whereabouts your order is. It's fucking top tier, right? But their pizzas are shite. I don't like their pizzas.
I thought that as well. The app is very good. Very, very good.
You can see everything in every step.
So obviously all the effort was put into the app instead of the pizzas.
I don't know what it is, right, but I've had 3 or 4 pizzas from there, and I like a nice little pepperoni pizza. Bit of this, bit of that. But
these last 5 minutes have just shown our two personalities. I was there ranting about a pint in a pub and you're here ranting about pizza.
Honestly, it does annoy me, right? Because I have people that say, oh, you know, Domino's, I really like them. I'm like, no, right? Pizza Hut in Charleston, right? The hot cookie dough in Pizza Hut Charleston was top tier. The pepperoni pizza in Charleston was top tier. Thin base, mind you. Big thing in my life is a thin base on a pizza. Much prefer it more than anything else, right? But they just don't, their pizzas, they don't do anything for me. I think they're dead pizzas.
What about the chicken and whatnot? Any good?
We had Wing Street. We had a Wing Street in Pizza Hut. What's that? In Pizza Hut, you had Wing Street, which are like the barbecue chicken chunks.
Oh, I do remember. Yeah, I do remember.
Very nice. Granted, pricey. They were never cheap.
But it was good food.
Oh, it was nice, man. It was nice. But nah, Domino's is dead.
There was one time you were Pizza Hut's number one customer, I'd argue.
Yeah, I mean, granted, I know all the owners. I knew the owners by name. The chef was the most coolest guy ever.
Did they used to message you?
Did they?
I think if you went like a week or two without ordering a pizza, you got a phone call or something asking if you're all right.
No. I don't think you'd ever go that far. But like, they treated us very well in there. We got some absolutely brilliant pizzas from there over the years.
It was tradition every week. Me and you got a pizza.
Winter warmer deal. Unbelievable. 16 quid. Delivered. No delivery fee. They didn't charge delivery fee.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Imagine a place not charging delivery
fee. But gradually, the price upped and up.
Went up, and a winter warmer deal that we used to order for about 15, 16 quid was probably like 21 quid by the end of it. And the winning deal went from 19 quid to God knows how. It might even cost 30 quid these days. But sadly, I don't know because we do not have a pizza nearby.
Where is the closest pizza?
Sandyford.
Not even one in Greystones or Bray.
No.
Why not?
Why don't you fucking ask them?
I don't know them as well as you do, Con. Why don't you ask them? Bring them up there again.
No, the owners, you know what? The owners of the old place, you know, I know them a very long time. I've been going to that place since it was Godfather's. Do you remember Godfather's?
I do indeed.
Where good old Brian used to run that place. But it is what it is.
It must be Lords that always have a pizza place there, is it?
It has to be. But Godfather's was good and Pizza Hut was... you know what? Granted, they weren't the most consistent. I would give them that, right? They had flopped on a few occasions. Never horrifically, right? But sometimes you got absolutely top tier pizzas and sometimes you got good pizzas. That isn't every place, right? That's every place where you get food. But it was always an enjoyable pizza. I always enjoyed getting a pizza from Pizza Hut. And I've yet to get a pizza since that, you know what, has been like, whoa, that's been amazing.
That's hit the spot the way that used to.
But you know what? As I said, 4-star does the job. I'm very happy with it. And it's actually a Tuesday today.
Oh shit, did you not get your deal today? What are we going to talk about, Con?
I'm devastated.
Heartbreaking. It's great to watch you sit back here and watch you talk with so much passion about fucking Pizza Hut.
You could
write a book on pizzas, you could.
I used to enjoy them. Granted, right, for years we actually both stopped. Not like, it wasn't, let's say, on purpose, but indirectly. Indirectly is not the word. But unconsciously, we stopped actually ordering pizzas.
Yeah, we did. We went a long way, like, a long time without it.
We did.
We replaced it with probably, I'm going to say Chinese, and then we replaced Chinese with Indian.
And the rest. But yeah, pizzas were something I used to enjoy quite a lot. And I can't lie, ever since Pizza left Greystones, my pizza ordering frequency, you could say, has just dipped completely.
It's dipped indeed.
But you were saying you tried a Domino's there recently.
I did. As recently as last night, mad.
Last night, wow.
I downloaded the app and that's where, yeah, it looks nice. Now, I got a vegan pizza. I don't know if you want to call that a pizza.
I'll just let you talk.
I give myself a bad name on this with this vegan shit. No, I'm not vegan. I love my meat. What is it? And we'll cut it there. We'll call it a day there.
Okay, right, Brandon.
I love pizza. That's all. I love my pizza.
Bit of sausage topping, Brandon, and the rest.
We're going to call it there. We're going to pull the plug. But I got Domino's last night, vegan pizza. However, I actually made vegan pizza even more embarrassing with that sentence there. And I'm not going to lie to you, it wasn't great. But I was hungry, so I ate it all. But it wasn't great.
It wasn't great.
You can imagine the fake plain. Vegan cheese, the fucking whole shebang.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't rate their pizzas. I never have.
No, I can actually see where you're coming from as well.
Like, and people rant on about, like, people are like, oh, I got Domino's classic. It's the most, in my opinion, when it comes to Greystones, right, it's the deadest pizza place you can order from when it comes to a pizza franchise. Because you have Eskimo, which is like formerly Apache, and people are like, what the hell, you're going to put Apache over Domino's? I'm like, you know what? I kind of have to. In my opinion, my personal experience, I've never had a good Domino's.
I'm not a big fan of Eskimo, now that you mentioned it.
I'm not a fan of it, right? I'm not saying I'm a fan of it. I'm just saying, over Domino's, I'd have. I'd pick a Domino's. I'd pick an Eskimo over Domino's.
Bold claim, bold claim.
But you've got what? You've got a Pizza Shack, you're cool.
Good spa.
You've got a place, Domino's.
We got that place in Tesco as well.
Enzo's.
Enzo's, yeah, that's meant to be a serious hell spot, isn't it?
I've tried the pizzas. Granted, I tried them early, so it's been a while. They're more traditional, like Italian, like traditional pizzas, rather than your generic. The more European and American variation of them.
This is why we've been talking about pizzas as well. You just said a word there, Con.
What?
Italian.
Oh yeah.
Italian. It's fucking great to be Italian, isn't it?
Right now it is, because
football came to Rome.
Football came to Rome. It was a mad one.
I tell you, I celebrated that game as if Ireland had won the Euros. It was special.
I mean, technically, our flags are very similar.
True, yeah, true.
And at times, I've been Italian. We'd probably be marked Italian with the old flags. But no, football came to Rome.
What a relief as well. The arrogance. I'm not going to lie to you, when Shaw scored that goal in the first 2 minutes, because I kept thinking to myself as well, I just kept saying, don't concede early at Wembley.
Yeah.
It's so outnumbered, the Italians there as well.
Oh, it was 6,000.
It's a home game for England. Don't concede early. And what fucking happens? Luke Shaw does that. Must have thought it was written in the stars then for them. I panicked, I must say.
You know what? The thing was, I think that was probably the best thing that could have happened to Italy.
At the end of the day, they actually did score a bit too early, didn't they?
They did, because they got way too complacent and thought that they could sit on a 1-0 lead. They were dead after that goal went in.
To be fair, they did have Italy kind of on edge for the next 10 or 15 minutes after that.
The first 15 minutes of the game.
They looked a little shook, didn't
they? They looked a bit... Italy didn't... They were caught off guard, right?
Yeah.
But the thing was, is that England got way too complacent. They tried to sit on their 1-0 lead.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, imagine that goal came to start the second half, so to say.
Very different game.
Yeah, exactly.
Very different game.
I'm delighted that it didn't. Forza Italia, anyway.
Yeah, it was an interesting game.
It was actually a very good game
for the neutrals. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I wouldn't say we were neutrals now. I was Italian that night.
You were Italian that night.
If you saw the way I celebrate, I was Italian that night.
You may as well have been called Brandini.
Brandini, that's a good one. Chiesa.
Chiesa.
Chiesa. Jeez, I always get that pronunciation right. I'm not that Italian, so.
You're a fraud.
What a player! What a performance!
Unbelievable for performance from the man. He seemed to be the one that was orchestrating and driving at the English defence.
So when he came off again, I was a bit nervous. I was a bit nervous.
Because Bernadeschi came on for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, the less said, the better, to be fair. He's not a bad player, but he's not Chiesa.
Great pen taker.
I mean, the audacity of him to go straight down the middle.
Oh, the balls to do that.
Like, you know what? I thought Pickford was going to get a leg to it. I genuinely thought he was going to get a leg to it.
I'll give him an awful stick. I hate him. And the idea of seeing that man walk around that stadium with a trophy in his hand would have killed me.
He had a good tournament.
He played very well. Yeah, especially in the final.
His save, he made a few really good saves.
He did in the final.
And
he looks so English. It's the arrogance of him as well. And just, it's like the whole, that's just like the rest of the nation as well. And just the idea of seeing him and Harry Maguire and whatnot walking around that stadium, holding that trophy, singing It's Coming Home. Would have killed me, Con. Would have killed me.
Yeah. You know what? I reckon if it wasn't for the English fans, or the image of the English fans and what they've done in recent events at tournaments.
The worst international fans in world football.
Yeah. And they didn't do themselves any favours at this event.
They never do.
No, they don't. Which is a shame, because it is the minority of the English fans. It's just the fact that they get
It doesn't look like that, though, at times.
You think that, right?
But it looks more of a majority than a minority when it comes to them. That just, again, the arrogance, the self-righteousness of them.
They destroyed the country. They destroyed London. London was a kip. It was a skip, pretty much. And it's funny to see, because if you look at the previous games of other countries coming over, the fans of the Scottish, the Danes, and all of these other people were actually cleaning up the streets of...
It's called respect.
It's respect. We were cleaning up the litter. There's photos all over Instagram and Twitter of these fans. You see them in different jerseys, different times. They'll be cleaning up the streets, helping their staff out. And you never saw a person with an English shirt doing it.
Ah.
Which is really, it's weird to see.
It doesn't surprise me at all. Now, obviously, there was a few here and there helping.
Obviously
out.
There was, but when it comes to in comparison to the other fans that had a bit more respect for the area,
I can't stand them, to be honest with you. I actually cannot stand them. I can't stand the pundits. I can't stand half the players.
The pundits were a joke.
I was a bit gutted for Hendo. That's about it. But at the same time, he needed to lose that final. No, I don't like them at all. At all.
Yeah.
So it was sweet to see them go all that way, go down to the last kick of the game, and for it not to happen.
It was mad, right?
Poetic.
Well, what was kind of annoying, and it was a bit like, I didn't really understand why Eve chose to say this, but in the semi-final, right, Italy had just played
Spain.
My brain went, like, died for a second. And the game had finished, and Rio Ferdinand is on punditry saying, it didn't matter, it doesn't matter who won this game, or one wins this game. They have nothing in comparison to England. The quality of the players, they do not compare to the English team.
Again, it's just the likes of himself.
And this is before the Danish game had even happened.
Before England even kicked the ball in the Danish semi-final. Shocking. It's just, again, the arrogance.
Which they barely won. A fucking soft penalty gets them by.
I put on BBC after Italy had won, just to see what the mood was. Could you imagine they had did it? Could you imagine?
We would not have heard the end of it. But you know what? Even English people, because obviously, right, granted, the English people are embarrassed of their own fans.
Oh, absolutely. I had to be.
Because, like, as I said, right, and it is the minority compared to the majority of fans, right, and English fans. And they're absolutely embarrassed and they're glad. I've seen a lot of English fans say they're glad they didn't win.
Oh, a lot of scousers would be delighted. They wouldn't follow the English national team.
Oh, no. I'm talking about just people like English fans, right, are glad they didn't win based on how the behavior of the English fans towards players and people and the Italian fans are at the venue, like, on the day. Like, when it comes to the racism,
that's something else, isn't it?
It's
imagine losing a game of football and your first instinct is racially abuse a 19-year-old.
It's horrific. It's just something that shouldn't really happen. You say it shouldn't really happen in this day and age, but it's gonna always just be there.
You can't kick it out, so to say.
No, which is a huge shame. And after, like, they've been campaigning, you know, for this Black Lives Matter and like all about equality and all this stuff for and racism, the whole campaign throughout the entire
Premier League. It's gonna do nothing, that would do sweet fuck
up. And yet, bang, straight after the Euros final. Of course, Sack is 19 years of age.
Wait, look, he's younger than us.
He's younger than us.
And he was taken at the side in Fenno in a European Championship final.
And he was one of their better players for the entire tournament.
He was very good. He was very good.
Put in a good shift, and he misses a penalty. And the amount of abuse he's been getting on social media is absolutely disgraceful.
I couldn't imagine that pressure in your shoulders.
Like,
I can barely take a pen out of five-a-side, you know, let alone on that stage with all that.
All the lights and glory. But, like, it's crazy to think, because, like, you already know that Saka himself, he feels worse than everybody else.
Oh, right? Absolutely. That would haunt them for the rest of
anybody else, like, at home saying, oh, fuck, you've ruined X, Y, and Z. Trust me. He feels it much worse than anyone else in the world.
That will never leave him.
Because Jorginho steps up, Jorginho of all people, to take a penalty to win the Euros for them. Pickford saves it.
I must say, when I saw that not go in, I panicked, Con. I panicked. I thought they blew it.
But no, Saka unfortunately stepped up, missed a penalty, and that was that. Donnarumma.
What a player, Con. What a player. Probably, yeah, easily the best keeper in the world at the moment.
Current form, have to agree with you.
Is he younger or older than us?
He's 20. He could be the same age as us. I think he's 23.
Jeez, that makes it sick, doesn't it?
He's been around since he was 17. He was in the national team at 17.
He's a class act. Class act.
And he's gone on a free transfer to PSG.
They look promising next season.
Not in their league, but, I mean, not that it's not their league, but, I mean, their league is kind of free at this moment. All the teams are about to sell most of their players because of the financial issues that are going on in the league. But PSG obviously won't have to go through that. They're minted. But Champions League would be an interesting one, because they got close this year.
They got close the year before as well. Closest probably ever get to it.
I mean, our manager and their captain won the Champions League this year under Chelsea.
Who cares about that, though?
I mean, I do.
Fair enough.
Yeah, if you care, I can give you an answer. But, you know, football came to Rome.
Football came to Rome.
But it wasn't... Sorry, go on.
I hear they're trying to give Southgate a knighthood for this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sir Southgate, imagine that. He would have saw that coming.
You know, we have different opinions on this because I think he's done a decent job with the team. It's granted, their players on paper, right? They should be winning it, right? They have a quality team.
He doesn't even start Jack Grealish. He didn't start Jordan Henderson. Yeah. Didn't start Jordan Henderson in a major European final. The man's been there and done that.
Yeah, no, granted, right? I don't agree with some of his decisions, especially when it comes to, like, why bring on Grealish that late? Why bring on Rashford and Sancho at the end of the game? Give them time. Taking off Henderson prior to penalties.
Putting him on and then taking him off.
Yeah, but they did that with Grealish the game prior.
Yeah, it was.
It's a very I don't agree with it, but it is what it is.
But even Hendo against Ukraine, scored a goal, made two assists, and he gets dropped for it. And I don't like Gareth Southgate. All right, is the pressure of being an England manager, which is probably the worst international job in the world. He's not coaching those lads. They're playing for United, Liverpool, Chelsea. Playing for massive clubs. Winning whatever year in, year out, and then they go play for the national team. All he has to do is just pick the team. That's all he has to do, and he can't even put Jack Grealish on a football pitch.
Who would you start Jack Grealish over?
Mason Mount for one.
True, he didn't do much.
Didn't do anything.
He didn't
really
add for the tournament, if I'm being honest. I agree with you.
I was very impressed with Calvin Phillips this tournament, I must say.
Phenomenal player.
Very good. A lot of respect for him as well. Him and Henderson were the only players that kept the medal on. You see a lot of arrogance of young players taking their runners-up medal off as if they've won everything in the game. It makes you laugh sometimes.
They have a bit of respect for
it. That's it, yeah. And they stayed and watched Italy lift the trophy as well.
As I said, common respect, common courtesy. And obviously they've, I don't know, they just...
It's probably why England will never win anything though, just the arrogance of them.
Yeah, they're players. It was just an odd tournament. It wasn't an odd tournament.
It was a very good tournament.
It was a very good tournament, right? But if you're in the group stages, England weren't playing like great at all in the group stage. You can say, "Oh, England didn't concede a goal," but like, I mean, they didn't like look who they played. They played Scotland, they played Czech Republic, and they played
Croatia,
and they didn't beat Scotland. They beat Croatia, and they beat
Croatia 1-0,
and then
Czech Republic 1-0 as well.
And then they played Ukraine.
They played Germany first.
They played Germany first, yeah. But I mean, that Germany side is hit and miss. It's not the strongest.
It's going through a transition.
Yeah. And Muller nearly fucking put them to bed anyway. Missed a sitter.
Cost me 190 quid, that lad did.
That is painful.
Nah, it's tough.
That is painful. But yeah.
But I made up for it in the end.
Yeah, you won a few quid from Italy.
First game week I put on Ronaldo top goal scorer Italy. I saw it there, 40-1. Sitting there 40-1. I thought to myself, that's a no-brainer. Worked out in the end anyway, I must say. And it went down to the final kick of the
tournament.
I can
imagine you were delighted.
I wasn't even thinking about the bet at the time. I was just thinking about Italy winning the Euros. That was it. And then I copped it after. It's actually come true, yeah.
But, you know, Italy won the Euros and Argentina.
Copa America champions.
Yeah.
For the first time, and I think it's about 29 years or so. 20, maybe even 26, somewhere between 26 and 29 years, first time they won an international trophy. And more importantly, first international trophy for Messi.
It's crazy to think, isn't it?
It's been coming. It's been coming. It's what he deserved anyway.
Oh, fully deserved. I mean, bloody Martinez. What a keeper.
He's class. Did you watch him in the penalty shootout? Against, was it Colombia?
Unbelievable.
I wouldn't. If I walked up to take a penalty and I saw him stand there, let alone being 7 foot or wherever he is, and just shouting at me and slagging me, I'd put the ball down, start crying and walk home. That's what I do.
He is, I mean, compared, like, considering where he came from a year ago, where he wasn't even starting for Arsenal, like, he got a game or two, played phenomenal, went to Aston Villa, got player of the season there, and now Copa American Challenge champion.
It's just, I'd actually argue it's probably harder to win than the Euros. It's voice of the day, actually. They have a serious hatred for each other.
Oh, there's a serious.
And if the fans were in the crowd as well, chaos.
It's nuts.
Chaotic it is.
But it's very interesting. It's good to see, like, it was nice to see Argentina win.
I'm delighted for Argentina. Probably my favourite international team. Them or Spain.
Really?
No, Italy after this, I'd say, as well.
You know, Italy, it was a very different Italy side we saw this. Like, style, football style.
Attacking.
Brilliant to see. Immobile did not show up at all.
No, you know who annoyed me the most on the final? Insigne. He was breaking my heart at times, he was. He just kept making the wrong pass or taking shots when he didn't need to. He was breaking my heart.
But I mean, they had Chiesa. Oh my days, I've confused myself. Chiesa, yeah.
That's me confusing you there, that is.
Yeah, some player.
Wouldn't like me to pronounce something wrong, would it?
No, 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 not at all. That's sort of character of yourself. But Chiesa played phenomenal.
You know who else played phenomenal? Chiellini.
What a legend.
Ah, he's unbelievable. What age is he?
36.
Is he younger than Pepe? He is younger than Pepe with 2 years. Yeah, Pepe is 38.
And then Bonucci's 34.
Ah, he's one of the best centre backs I've ever seen. Easily. The two of them together are brilliant.
Defensive masterclass.
What I said when he took down Saka, incredible. There's going to be a documentary made about that on Sky Sports saying how close we were to winning the Euros. There'll be like a VAR thing where Saka would have went on and scored there.
You know, it felt like, you know, an old WWE event. People are making out to be an old WWE event of like putting someone through a cage and just dragging them back.
People
like,
trying to say red card. That's the most professional foul I've ever seen.
It was a tactical foul.
And it was actually nearly in his own half as well. It was
pretty much like a step outside of it. And I mean, the rest of the defense, the back line was there. They were a bit, they were there. You can say they were. It's not like the entire Italy defense and he was the last one back.
He knew what to do though.
He knew exactly what brilliant. He was doing. He's a mastermind.
And he didn't have to. He followed through all the way.
Oh, that's an understatement.
If you're going to pull someone down, pull them down.
I'm surprised the t-shirt didn't come off the man.
He ripped him.
Absolutely ripped him apart. But speaking of getting ripped apart, I have been getting ripped apart on social medias after I made a statement there on this podcast a few weeks ago.
You made a very, very brave statement out loud, Connor. On the airwaves, some people may say.
On the airwaves.
And it's cost you, Con.
It has.
Let's just remind the listeners what you said.
Do I have to?
You have to.
I said that this was the Euros, or this was the year, this was the tournament that I was going to beat Oscar Hancock on fantasy football. And for a good period of this Euros, it was looking likely until a shocking game week four and five, and a bit of, I don't even know, misunderstanding or forgetfulness of the chips at hand made and cost me the entire tournament, I think, in my opinion.
He is sitting at home, listening to your heartbreak, laughing into his phone, right as we speak right now.
Yeah, fuck you, Oscar.
How much did he beat you by in the end?
Let's just not talk about it. I got second in the league.
You got second. That's not quite first, but it's...
It's ahead of a lot of other people.
It's ahead of Steve Hunt, which probably was a target at the start of the season. But if you're not going to win it, what's the point of finishing ahead of someone?
You know what? I was looking promising. I made a few brilliant calls at times, but a poor decision of not using my wild card earlier.
What cost you in the end, Con?
I didn't use my wild card earlier. I thought wild card was a flash week, and it wasn't. Wild card is a permanent team for the rest of the tournament. And I played a bad game week for a game week with not enough players that were like still in the tournament. And I should have made that change earlier. And yeah, it cost me dearly.
Can you please tell us how much did you lose by in the end? Because I don't even know this. I want to hear.
Oscar finished on... Where the hell's my phone? I don't really know. He beat me by 30 points in the end.
Ooh. Now, as someone who doesn't play fantasy, how large of a gap is that? That can change in a week, can't it?
In a week, yeah, because, I mean, there was game weeks where I was getting 96 and people would be getting, like, mid-50s. But, like, towards the latter end of the tournament, there was, less of a gap because there was more differentials between what players people were choosing. So, yeah, he beat me by 30 points in the end. And, you know, these things happen in life where you have to just accept you got beat by the better man.
Ooh, congratulations, Oscar. And speaking of Oscar, he'll be on next week as a special guest, just to rub it in a little bit more. So let's move on from that and go to a sport a bit closer to your heart. Tennis, Con.
Yeah, no, Djokovic is just cleaning house, really. He's in a stage where it just looks like he can't be beat.
20 major titles now.
It's crazy.
That's joint with the other two other lads, isn't it? You're the two other lads, Nadal and Keeley, is it?
You know yourself, but nah, like Djokovic has this thing in him where it doesn't matter if you're the guy who took, let's say, every point for 4 hours, not to say 4 hours, every point of the match point and Djokovic didn't get a single game or anything. Djokovic from that point would win every single game. You can't beat Djokovic. You can't beat him. He just manages to come back from the brinks, the dires, from everything, and he'll come back. Even if the other guy could be practically celebrating, even though you never celebrate against Djokovic. Like, no matter how close you are, it's like this bastard's going to put it back. And that's exactly what he did. Earlier on in the tournament against a young... Oh, my days. His name has slipped out of my mind. Damn. But regardless, the last two games he played in the tournament, clean. Difficult games, but clean. Clean wins. Even if he gets broken twice in a set, he still manages to get the set. I don't understand how sometimes he gets sets. Like, you'll see him get broken twice in the first set of a game, right? And then maybe I'll go grab a drink and I'll sort things out. I'll come back and somehow, like, he's managed to get that first set after being 2-3 games down in one in the first set. It baffles me at times how good he is at just winning. And that's just the way he is. That's Djokovic in a nutshell.
Is he, someone who doesn't watch tennis as often as yourself, is he as good, if not better than the other two? I know one of them is just French Open constantly, isn't it? On the clay. That's Federer, is it?
No, you got Nadal.
Nadal's
is
clay.
Nadal on, oh my days. Nadal is on clay. Nadal on clay doesn't lose. But
Who's your favourite out of the three?
I see, I don't really have a favourite. Of them three, I'm like, Djokovic is, he's the best. Right now, he's untouchable. He's been the number one seed for a long time now.
Okay.
Right? There's not much really comp. There's no one actually giving him a good game, which is annoying. These young lads are coming up. There's a Canadian in the semifinals with a mad long name I couldn't tell you right now, who had a very interesting style of play. He's a very, like, he's all or nothing with every shot. When I say that, I mean, my days, he puts everything in the rest into every shot power-wise. And if it goes in, it goes in. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's an interesting style. And he's only 22. It looks promising. And then he played a 25-year-old Italian on Sunday. Big game for, big day for Italians.
It was the first time an Italian's ever featured in a Wimbledon final.
But yeah, no, it didn't come through. I believe it was 3-1 in the end, if I'm not mistaken. My mind was kind of more prioritized for the football. But yeah, Djokovic, you just don't beat Djokovic in general. He's just unbelievable.
It's incredible to say they've got to trade him there.
They aren't as present. Like, they're the big names in tennis. You have Djokovic, Nadal, Federer. But the other two, they've dipped heavily lately.
Really?
Yeah.
Age?
Yeah, they're just getting old. Like, Federer got knocked out by the guy that Djokovic played in the final there, and he got clean beaten 3-0. Federer didn't even get a game. Yeah, not a game, a set. 3-0, clean. But yeah, no, it's Djokovic's tournament to lose going forward. I can't see any. It's going to be hard to beat him. It's like a Terminator, I swear down. But, you know, tennis is more on my side. Brandon, you're more towards the golf. Tell me what's going on.
Well, Con, the Open is back in 2 days in Royal St. George's Golf Club.
Okay.
In the UK.
Yeah.
And going into it, this was cancelled last year, was.
Okay.
Shane Lowry, defending champion. Right. One of our own, Con. I think he's from, I know this is late, Leash. Pretty sure he's a Leishman.
Right.
Or Offaly. Well, I'm a big fan of him anyway. I think he's Offaly. Big fan of him anyway. Yeah, he's the defending champion. He handed the trophy back over there today. It's kicking off now on Thursday. It'll be very exciting. And there's a few big names going into it.
Oh, yeah.
Favourites wise. So I think we should hand it over to our betting correspondent, Steve, to tell us exactly who to go for and who not to go for.
Take it away, Steve.
How's it hanging, Connor and Brandon? Friend of the show and flag planter in chief, Steve Hunt here, back with another highly anticipated rendition of the Almost Addicted segment. This is the part of the podcast where we cause the bookies to almost go into liquidation. So it's been 2 long weeks and we've learned a lot about the world of sport. Football didn't come home. Keely's yet to win a fantasy football league. And my last tip for the UFC went down about as well as McGregor's post-fight comments. So, boys, I'm hoping to redeem myself with some action from the golf, coming by way of the Open Championship. So, John Rahm is the favourite, and it's clear to see why. The man's been absolutely on fire the past 6 months. The price is 13-2. It's a bit of risk for not a lot of reward, but it's definitely the safest bet of the tournament. Now, Paddy Power are paying out on 12 places for the each-way betting. This is an absolute dream come true for punters like me. So, I've gone for 3 picks that I think will give reasonable return for the level of golf that they play. So, firstly, Bryson DeChambeau. He's had a great year and a great start to life as a professional golfer. The price is 30-1. I know it's away from his usual American setting, but he's definitely worth every bit of that price. Mark Leishman is my second pick. He's another intriguing golfer. When he's on it, he's on absolute fire. And at 50-1, I think that's a great each-way bet. And finally, my wildcard pick is Matt Kuchar. who's been, or who, when he's been on top form, he's been a top 20 golfer consistently. But when he's not, he's been literally amateur at best, mini golf standard, Rainforest Golf Dundrum. At 150-1, it's a long shot, but it's a risk worth taking because we all know the sun shines on a dog's arse every now and then. So enjoy the betting, enjoy the weekend, lads, and enjoy the rest of the podcast. Good luck.
Thank you as always, Steve. Another great few shouts this week.
Another, yeah, it's some decent odds there, especially considering they're paying top 12.
That's it, yeah. Some great shouts. But one he didn't go for, which I'm going for, and now I call him by accident the leash man. He is from Offaly. Okay. He wouldn't take kindly if you heard me say that.
I can imagine so.
Shane Lowry, 33-1. And I have him down not to finish in the top 10, 12 places, to win it outright.
Oh, wow.
Put a tenner on him. So hopefully he brings it home again. This would be the second time winning it. As so he is a defender.
Coming home.
Coming home, but to Offaly.
Coming home to Offaly, you know, well, it's better than coming home to the UK when it comes to the Euros. But you know what? You might have your man winning in the weekend, or when's his tournament, Brandon?
Starts on Thursday. So hopefully he does. If he plays well, I fancy him big time, and great odds as well. 33-1 for a defending champion as well.
Very good odds. Speaking of an Irish champion competing.
Don't call that man a champion.
I mean, he's a scumbag. But
to put it lightly.
True. He had an interesting performance. What do you call it? It was an interesting card. Few good fights in the card. The Sean O'Malley fight was unbelievable. I'm not sure if you see.
Did you stay up to watch it?
I did. So I watched that entire card.
I watched the
main card. I didn't watch the prelims, but that main card was nuts.
Was McGregor not the main card?
He was. No, he was on the main card, but there's like, okay, a bunch of like other like fights on that main card.
Oh, I'll get you. See, for someone who doesn't watch UFC.
Yeah, no worries. But you had like prelims, then you have main card. But there is a guy called Sean O'Malley, right? And he's unbelievable. He's a very good fighter.
That sounds like a very Irish name.
It sounds like a very Irish name. But he fought this guy, this new guy, and sadly his name has slipped my mind in this moment of time, right? Portuguese chap, took the fight on short notice in his first fight in the UFC. And this guy was getting destroyed. The guy was getting the shit kicked out of him for three rounds. 5 minutes straight, but he would never stay down. The guy stayed on his feet and took the most. I've never seen a man get so abused in all my life in the UFC. This guy took hits I've never seen people take before, and he stayed on his feet till the end. Now, sadly, the referee at the time, Herb Dean, 20 seconds from time. You have to think, this guy he's on his UFC debut. Right, and he's getting the living daylights kicked out of him, but he stayed up and he stayed in the fight the entire time. You're 20 seconds from finishing that fight, and he's taken a serious amount of abuse this entire time. Herb Dean stops it 20 seconds till you know the end of the fight, which was sad to see, but it got fight of the night, and he earned a lot of people's respect. It was an unbelievable fight to watch. It was not that it was competitive, but it was just, you know. You have to respect your man a lot.
Jeez, I need to check that out. He's Portuguese, is he?
Yeah, he's Portuguese.
It was first fight in the UFC.
First fight in the UFC, and he took the fight in short notice. But, you know, we respect people like that. You know who we don't respect, though?
Conor McGregor.
Yeah. Dodgy behavior.
Just a bit. Did he beat himself, essentially?
Basically, I mean.
Was it the first round he snapped his ankle? So all this build-up, this, again, they're talking of him. And then in the first round, he snaps his ankle.
It's very funny because he was saying this entire time that Poirier was going to leave on a stretcher.
And
it was McGregor that ended up leaving on the stretcher.
Again,
itself.
Poetic justice, some may say.
Yeah. You know, his comments after the fight, his comments in general were just ludicrous. They're mad.
Typical McGregor. What did he say after the fight, you're saying?
Yeah.
What did he say after the fight?
He said, your wife's in my DMs and your wife is a hoe.
Oh, so McGregor has definitely changed, as he was saying. Didn't he say he was changing?
He's a reformed man.
Yeah, looks it massively.
But yeah, just pure scumbag behavior. I don't know, it's just one of them things. Like, you know, people are saying, as we said, the English fans are embarrassed of how the English fans react. We're embarrassed of McGregor.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him. Never was either, especially when he made a big.
He doesn't make us look good.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's pure scumbag behavior.
We're not all from Crumlin, though, thankfully.
True. I don't think people that, like, let's say, are outside of Ireland would understand that quite well, like parts of Ireland and how people act. Well, that's a thing everywhere, but you know, people think that everyone sounds, talks, and acts like McGregor in Ireland.
When is the complete utter opposite?
Yeah. But you know, that's just, it is what it is. He doesn't represent us the best when it comes to his attitude post and prior to the fight itself.
Does he have any other fights lined up, does he?
Well, not at the moment. He's going to be out for a minimum 6 weeks. He's got a cast on for his leg.
But did he break his leg or his ankle?
You know, at the time we thought ankle, but it looks like it was the leg.
Oh, shit.
Poirier, he said he checked the leg kick, which caused a crack in the leg initially. And then later on in the fight, when McGregor went to put like pressure on the fight, on the leg, it just caved in.
Are they fighting again anytime soon?
Yeah, I reckon they will.
Like, that would be their fourth time fighting, isn't it?
Their fourth time fighting.
Fuck me, give it a rest.
But like, the thing is, the second one, fine. This third one should have been like, put it to bed. But it's not going to give people the outcome that they wanted.
Wait, it's your man Dustin Poirier, or Justin Poirier?
Dustin.
Dustin Poirier. He won one, and McGregor won one.
No, currently now Poirier has won two.
Okay, that counts as a win for him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was. I don't know what people think of the way he acted after the interview, because he said, "I don't care what way I won. This is a win. I would have destroyed him anyway. I was winning the fight."
Oh, well, so that's just riling up for another fight, I suppose.
Pretty much, because realistically, he can go. Well, Poirier can go for the title fight, which he's well and truly in line for, or you'll take McGregor. McGregor's the money fight, realistically.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, he can go for a title, so he can. But McGregor, he's one win in how long now?
It's like 4 years or something, isn't it?
They were saying it was one. His first win was against Donald Cerrone. Cerrone, my days. I can't think. My head's confused with that name right now. You know when you hear a word or a pronunciation of a word and you can't tell if it's right?
Ashton.
Ashton, yeah. Donald Cerrone. Cerrone doesn't sound right in my head right now. But anyway, he beat Donald. It was like well past it, to be fair. But he hasn't won a serious fight since what, Nate Diaz 2, I'm going to say, when he won it by decision. I can't think of winning a fight after that.
Why do they all fight each other so much? It always seems to be like, every time I tune into UFC, it seems to be like, oh, X versus X part 3.
Yeah, no, because, right, so he fought Diaz the first time, right? And Diaz made him submit, right? I think that was his first loss. I'm not sure what came first. Nate Diaz or Habib. Habib destroyed him. Even in the stand-up, it was a joke. McGregor had a very poor performance, but he's still deluded and thinks he was winning that fight. But he lost to Habib, then he lost to... I can't think of the order off the top of my head right now. But he lost to Diaz, and they wanted to run it back. And they did run it back. And I thought at the time that Diaz actually won the fight, but it went to Conor on decision. But yeah, so the Poirier fight was meant to call it a day, but no, it should have called it a day, but considering the outcome is just, they're probably going to run it again.
Moving on from the UFC anyway, Con, it's time to ask you, have you applied for a vaccine?
I have, yeah.
You have, yeah? Where'd you apply?
I applied just local. There's a pharmacy. Pharmacy I've never been into before. It's beside Joker's. I don't even know.
The exact same one I applied for as well.
Go away.
Yeah, well, I didn't apply for my parents' rush for it because I actually don't need a vaccine at this time.
You're
being
immune for what, six,
9 months? Yeah.
By the way, you'd rather just get it done over with.
I suppose, yeah.
Like, if they're going to come around saying, oh, you need a COVID passport, you have at least.
I get a different form to prove that I'm immune.
Right.
So that's another thing, like, obviously, Delta's ripping through the country at the moment. There's almost 600 cases a day. Today, there was 589 alone.
There's 33,000 in the UK.
Yeah, that's mad to think, isn't it? Mad to think. I think the other day was 40,000 cases, and Boris is like, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, fuck it, open the country up.
Eventually, you're just going to have to live with it, though.
It's one of those things.
Exactly.
I think the UK are doing it the right way.
Like, the vaccine doesn't even stop you from getting it. It doesn't. It just supposed to make it less... Like, the risks aren't the same. You do get it. You still can get it. Just not as sick, not as bad.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah. It's going to be a yearly thing. You're going to have to probably get a shot every year.
Yeah, they're saying they're going to do boosters at some point down the line.
I heard talk about tablets. I don't know how true that is as well.
That's going to be in development. It's something that's going to be around for a while, this COVID scenario.
Yeah, but the pharmacies have opened up to us to apply for a vaccine because of the pressure, I suppose, to get indoor dining up and running.
But the one that we're getting with vaccinated, it's only 66% effective.
Which one is it?
The Johnson.
Oh, the Johnson, is it?
The Johnson.
And that doesn't cause blood clots, does it?
Fuck knows, to be honest. But it's 66% effective. But it's a one jab, so, you know, you'll have something.
And it's just to get the young people over and done with, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's something, it's on the cards.
They're saying that everyone age 16 and over by the end of September will be offered a vaccine, and it's up to them whether they want it or not.
Fair enough. It's going in the right direction. Hopefully things can open up soon enough.
But yeah, well,
no, we're just it's gone on long enough at this point.
The Cowboys are back again, Con. I regret to inform you.
What's happening?
They're looking to open indoor dining, looking from the July 26th onwards. But you're going to have to prove that you've had a vaccine or prove that you're immune to the virus.
So you're telling me I can't go into a fucking KFC and I show them a passport?
You're telling me that if you want to go and get a meal or a pint in a pub, you're going to need not only, say, your wallet or your ID or whatever, you're going to need a COVID ID as well to prove. So it's going to be someone sitting on the door, not asking for your age or anything like that, asking, do you have a COVID passport to prove you've got the vaccine?
It's very funny.
That's not going to work. How do they think that a rural pub somewhere down the country is going to do that to their locals?
You know what? It's just going to be what? It's going to become the norm.
I heard it's $2,500 fine per person.
That's hefty.
It's disgraceful.
That is hefty.
Per person. So if you had two people in there, $5,000
fine. $5,000. Fuck. Wait, for the bar?
For the bar, yeah.
That's hefty. My days, you would want to be fucking about
with it. So that's just trying to enforce it. It's not going
to
work,
though.
They're
trying to scare people into it.
Exactly, yeah. But they're saying that minors are allowed in with their families. Because imagine turning away half a family. Oh, you're vaccinated, but you're not. So they're trying to keep it like that. Again, just cowboys at work.
Fucking pick and mix. The Irish government, you know, there's not a lot that can be said that's positive about it.
And if you work in a pub, but you're not vaccinated, you are allowed to have a meal and a pint in that pub. It's just going on, just so backwards.
Ireland in a nutshell. Like, the country's in a shit show. Has been in a shit show and has been late to everything for as long as I can remember.
That's it.
But, you know, hopefully at one point we can get back to normal living. We're getting there. Like, I mean, I was in...
Oh, we're one step closer.
Yeah.
Even if there is 600 cases a day.
True. It did hurt. I was there in Dundrum there, and I grabbed a subway, and it's like the entire, like, indoor... No, the food floor cleared out. You have to grab your subway on the top floor and then go all the way outside, which is kind of funny.
I said I killed you.
Oh, it killed me. But, like, you know, I got a subway, but KFC was closed, which broke me. But, you know, indoor dining, it will come back eventually, regardless of how long it will take.
Get your vaccines, I suppose, and then you can go back to normal.
Register, yeah, bloody hell. We'll be waiting. I don't know how long we'll be waiting for this.
I'm going to imagine a while. Maybe a couple of weeks or so. I already, you should have been vaccinated a long time ago.
I should have been, yeah, because, you know, I'm a bit of, what do you say, vulnerable to this shit.
That's one way to put it.
But listen, I've made it. I've yet to get COVID so far. My voice is already starting to drop, as you could say, throughout this podcast.
And hopefully you don't have COVID for next week's episode.
I shouldn't do, but God knows where this next episode will take place, because we've done an episode now for my room that I have to edit, and it is 10 to 11 at night.
And the episode came out 2 hours ago.
The episode came, it was supposedly to come out 2 hours ago, and I have still to edit this episode tonight. But I will get it up ideally before 12 o'clock, and that's going to be the goal.
We'll be doing well there. Well, I suppose it's that time of the week again to end the podcast.
It is that time of the week now. Brandon, I picked a song last time. What's your song of the week?
Well, Con, for the week that's in it,
okay,
it'd be unjust not to go for an old classic.
Oh, yeah.
Football's Coming Home by the Lightning Seeds. Take it away, boys.
Listen, it's been a pleasure. Have a good day, everyone. Thank you guys for listening to us.